come today to not talk a message of excitement about the ministries and organizations that Matt interviewed me over, but simply for us to look at the heart of God as a reconciling heart, and to consider this message today in how God is calling us to be everyday peacemakers in an unreconciled world. And on screen, you'll see this felt heart. Now, I know that not everyone will be into this today, but do we have a volunteer from each of the three sections to just raise your hand if you want to come forward? I have something that I would like each section to do as we're beginning to share this message. And it's a simple task. If you've ever thread a bobby pin with some string through a hole, you can say yes to this assignment. So do I have those volunteers? I have one here, thank you. Do I have one here? Who's volunteering? All right, Sandra, and anyone in this section? All right, Eleanor? Ellen, almost. That's great. Just come on forward, please. What I have here are some felt hearts. And Sandra, yours is here at the front. And Ellen, yours is there. And what I'd like for you to do is to work with some other people in your section. And just to be able to find two other people. One person hold each half of this heart, and maybe just hold them up so that they can see that there are two parts with some holes, and nobody's going to get hurt. They're bobby pins. And I'd like you just to work together, one with a thread and one holding each part, and just loop it through once, and then you can pass it on to somebody else, and the next three people can pick up and begin to put that together. And I'm gonna just explain this a little bit more. But yeah, don't do it alone. Do it together with others. Just go from front to back. You know how to sew. So as you're doing that, I want to set up an introduction. And once it's finished in the section, I'd like you to pass it through so everybody has a chance to touch it and hold on to it. And because there's an implication here for what we're looking at in the scriptures this morning. And I really like the two parts, the visual of the two parts of this broken heart. When we think about how God is in the work of calling us to join him in bringing repair and restoration to things. The symbolism here is that there's a lot that we can look at our world, and we hear it all the time. There's so much that's broken. But when we look to the scriptures, we read this in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Next slide. And when we think about this, there is a way of blessing that Jesus calls us into to be peacemakers in the world. And there's so much reason for peace to be established in our world today. We see the conflicts, we see all that's wrong in the world. But we are in fact those whom Jesus calls blessed when we're involved in peacemaking work. And I'll return to this text a little bit later today. Next slide, please. So I'd like to just explore two thoughts in this message this morning. First is that peacemaking and reconciling is, first and foremost, rooted in God's heart. It's rooted in God's heart, revealed in the scriptures. That pursuing a world at peace and reconciling work is rooted in the scriptures, and it's important, secondly, for every Christian and every church in an unreconciled world. And I just want to address these as two questions this morning with this little disclaimer that I share these things understanding that there are a whole range of people. And that includes many who are skeptical of this idea of peace and reconciliation. Why is that? When we hear about this in the culture at large, and we go, oh, great, yeah, another thing that we have to do. But we can really miss hearing about it from the heart of God. And as I've shared this message, even with those who are involved on the front lines of peacemaking, and reconciling work, it's easy to locate it as just social justice, social action, human endeavor. So did everybody get a chance to hold that? Thank you. Your section wins. You win a prize. I don't know what it is yet, but we'll come up with something wonderful. It's probably you get to all come up en masse and close the service in prayer. But it helps to look at this in our everyday context. So the next slide, please. The first question is, what is the basis for peacemaking and reconciling in the heart of God? Next slide. The word for wholeness or for peace is, in the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures, the word shalom. And shalom, you've probably heard sermons on this word. In the English language, it often gets translated as peace, but it's a hard word to boil down to one word in English. And likewise, in the New Testament, that there is a word called eirene in the Greek. And there's an author named Al Tizon who wrote a book called Whole and Reconciled. And he says it this way, that the Hebrew word often translated into English as peace refers more to wholeness, justice, social harmony, health, well-being, and fullness of life, all which result in peace that is inner and spiritual and communal and global. So it's this really large concept, and it's complex, but it's a beautiful theme that reflects the very nature of God, as well as God's will for all creation. And the shalom heart of God is what we're going to look at today, even though there's no English word to describe it. And so that's why Al Tizon summarizes it and boils it down in the way that you see at the bottom here, that a simple definition of shalom is that it means God's very best for me, for others, for all, and for all creation. And I think we'll work with that as a thought this morning. But as I mentioned to you, next slide please, that I have a colleague who's in Jerusalem as a Palestinian believer, and his name is Salim Munayer. Thank you. And good work on that one. This one's still going around? It's finished? Did everyone have a chance to at least, did you pass it through the aisles? All right, well, just pass it across, and everybody just touch it, examine the work. Maybe after service you can say congratulations, well done on that. And once it gets to you up here in the front row, just put it down on the bench there, please. This is a definition that comes from my friend Salim, that reconciliation, and if you could, you can read the words on the screen, say it with me. Reconciliation is the restoration of interpersonal trust in a mutual commitment to invest again in a relationship. What I love in this definition is the concept of again, that it assumes that something has become broken that was once there. And in the heart of God, that's how God has designed us to exist, that loving God and loving neighbors are one and the same. But as we run into conflict, that we can end up with all kinds of levels of distortion and brokenness in our relationships. Next slide, please. And so in the peace and reconciliation work, there's a way of framing this, and you don't have to squint your eyes and zoom in. We'll talk about each of these four quadrants. But looking at the work of God's shalom as a biblical foundation, that God desires peace and reconciliation in four key ways. One is vertically, that God desires that all of us would discover a reconciled relationship with God. And for me, that happened a long time ago. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've understood what God has done, we've just come through Good Friday and Easter, and the awareness that because of what Christ has done, we have gained a restored relationship with our Creator God that lasts forevermore. It cannot be broken. And what a gift that is to have a vertical reconciliation with God. But we're also going to look at the scriptures today to talk about how God wants reconciliation in other ways. And that's really important for us to understand the wholeness of God's shalom heart. that God wants us to be restored inwardly. That is, toward our true self. When we say yes to following Jesus and we're restored with God vertically, that God gives us the gift of His Spirit's presence in our lives. But many of us have a journey of life that is full of its own brokenness, its own hurt, its own trauma. And as we come to know God, it's not all instantly made pure and well and perfect. That God is calling us toward what Thomas Merton, one of the ancient spiritual leaders, said, toward our true self, not our false self. Towards the spirit, not the flesh. And more aware of where God needs to continue to bring wholeness to us and healing. And thus the work of spiritual formation or counseling can help bring healing in our inward journey. Third, that we have reconciliation horizontally. And that is between people, between individuals, between people groups, between nations. And we'll look at that. And finally, circular, with all things and all creation. So can we look at these just in sequence this morning? Next slide, please. We'll start with the vertical. So we who follow Jesus have desired that all people would be reconciled with God. We use language for this of conversion. We call this making a decision for Christ or accepting His work on the cross, Jesus' sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, that God would no longer look at us through our sin, but see us through the right standing with God, the righteousness of God that's available in Jesus Christ. It's a free gift that God has made possible, that Christ has made possible through His work on the cross to make us whole. And it's wrapped up in God's nature and work. Bishop Ephraim Tendero, who is a colleague of mine in the World Evangelical Alliance with the Peace and Reconciliation Network, he's a Filipino American, and he actually puts it this way. He says, Trinitarian peace comes from the God of peace, who is the author, the Son of peace, who's the agent, and the Spirit of peace, who's the advocate. And I love that Trinitarian work because we're joined with God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That reunion is a welcome where we have this restoration into the fullness of life with God. And we want to live that out and invite others into God's shalom or wholeness personally. Next slide. One of the key passages of Scripture that roots this is in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And I couldn't have picked a more difficult font to read on a slide far away. That says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace into which we now stand, and we are boasting in the hope of the glory of God. God is the one who gives us peace through Jesus Christ. And as such, we who follow Jesus have desired that all people would be reconciled to God through Christ. And we continue to labor to that end. But I just want to return briefly to the passage that I referenced earlier in Matthew chapter 5. Because in terms of this, when we act like our fatherly God, do you see the words here? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. And what does that mean? It means when we are involved in making peace, that we are looking like our fatherly God. It means when people look at us as peacemakers, they should be able to say, that looks like God. Because God is the one who ultimately makes peace. It is not just a humanitarian effort for us as followers of Jesus. We're invited to participate as peacemakers, but it's the God of peace who makes it happen. And I love that, because as we look at this in family, we can look at kids, and we all get a kick out of this. You know, I'm here with extended family, but we'll be gathered with extended family. And my sister Stephanie has two kids, and so one of them will say something or do something, and you go, oh, I remember that in you, Steph, when you were a kid. right? We all do this and we kind of joke about it. But what's happening there is that the mimicry that the next generation have, that children have to us in our life. And yes, I'm very much like my mom and like very much like my dad in different ways. And so we discover in this word the truth that when we act as peacemakers, people can look to us and go, oh, that looks like the fatherly peace of God. That looks like the peace of God. And in this way, it is a way of blessing. And you know, this is also true in our lives when we are not like our fatherly God. Or our kids are not like us in good ways, we also want to disown them. Thank the Lord he hasn't disowned us. Because that is the way where there's no blessing. When we actually bring disruption or we bring shame to our relationship with God, representing him. And in this verse, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. There's a standing that we've been given to be welcomed into God's family that's so beautiful. And when it's broken, we see that as something that needs to be restored. So this is the root of it all, that we have received peace, but we are also called to give it. Secondly, peace comes to us internally. Next slide, please. And here again, the internal peace that we experience with God is to deal with sin's distortion in our lives. Or the, as I've mentioned, the pain that we have in our own journey that God wants to bring healing in. And toward our true self, not our false self. So that we're able to help one another. And the key passage of scripture for this comes out of 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 to 20. And here it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. And it goes on and talks about the ministry of reconciliation and being called in Christ Jesus to be ambassadors of reconciliation. I'm going to come back to that as we look at peace between people. But think about the internal life. The new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. And in this way, the connection here is experiencing in our true self, in our inner life, a sense of being reconciled to God and to who he's created us to be. There's something so powerful in our testimony when it's autobiographical, when we talk about the way that God has made us and shaped us, when we lean into our gifting, when we're serving with a true sense of our identity as children of God, and then we can pour out into the lives of others. And when we haven't received that sense of wholeness or that sense of comfort with who we are, then we can sort of fake it. And I don't know, that's happened to me a lot, where I'm not quite functioning in my true identity or my true sense of gifting, and it just feels like, oh, what am I trying to prove here? But it's such a great gift to just know who we are and be who we are in the Lord. And out of that comes the best gifting and the best opportunity to serve and bless others. That's the life that spiritual formation and attending to inner healing can bring us toward, so that there can be this connection to internal reconciliation that's really understood God's love, not trying to earn God's love, really understanding how that God is the one who has shaped us for who we are, not trying to be someone else, and the gift that sets us free. There's so much fakeness going on all around us. A world that is inundated with masks and with portrayals of ourselves that are false. God wants to break through so that we'll be genuine and that we'll come to understand that loving God and loving neighbors is also tied into loving ourselves. And I don't know if that's you that needs to hear that today, that how God has actually formed you is beautiful and wonderful. And you have gifts and you have heart. And you have something that the body of Christ needs and the world at large needs. And so often we can fight to offer something we don't have. And that's not the calling. That's not the way to this inner reconciliation. Instead, it's to learn the ways in which God has shaped us uniquely and to lean into that. For many of us, that's a lifelong journey. So I mentioned that there was a resource that can help. And in an area that has come into focus in recent years, next slide please, is this area of trauma-informed care. That what actually happens when we go through traumatic experiences in especially the early part of our lives, that they create an imprint and they don't allow us to function fully in our brain, but we function in our out of the amygdala, which protects us. And so there's a lot of work being done, but as we're working with not only learning to love ourselves and deal with the areas we need healing, but to help others and to be more gracious and more understanding about what's going on with that person, that we can become more informed. And so this is a resource here, and Pastor Dave and I were talking about this, that if any of you are interested, it's a 7-session video course with a study guide. And through the Peace and Reconciliation Network, it's offered for free. And Pastor Dave has said, email the office if you'd like to participate in this, because they'd like to offer it for anyone that wants to go through this. And that will be sorted through the office here in terms of time frame and with those that want to do this. So it's something that you can do on your own. It's something that you can do with an existing group or as a household or with some friends or people that maybe aren't your friends, you know, whatever you want. But it's available to just grow. And we had a trauma-informed therapist who has given teaching of these sessions, and I'll just mention Brenton Diaz, because he has a role with York University, and he teaches internationally. He's a wonderful brother in the Lord who teaches about trauma-informed care and gave his gift to put this resource together to walk through these sessions to help churches become more informed on understanding trauma, our neighbors, trauma's impact, and to be more equipped to deal with that. And that's one way that we can also just then be set free, to be reconciled within and to help others do the same. So this third aspect is horizontal. When we think about reconciliation or even what's needing to take place between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people in Canada, the Truth and Reconciliation have given action steps that different groups of people, including churches, are called to wrestle with and respond to. But in terms of that, we know that conflict transformation, learning to walk well together when there's been harm between people groups, that this is not easy work. And reconciliation is a journey, it's not an event. So it's not a one-off, it's not a photo op kind of opportunity. It's a way of saying, are there places of brokenness? Are there people that are excluded in our culture, in our society? When you think about the town of Sarnia, for instance, or the wider area, you know, are there newcomers that are coming here that face extreme marginalization or prejudice or racism? And how can we be peacemakers and reconcilers, building bridges between people groups that have never really talked, have never really sat down together? And so in this way, we come back to this passage, and I won't ask you to go back to that slide, but in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, that we see that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And that includes the kind of cultural sins and system sins that exist where we're comfortable just being avoiding other people who are very different from us, groups of people in our culture that we say we don't really want to do anything with them, we don't want to associate with them. And God's crying out for us with a reconciling heart, saying, I've actually called you. In this verse it says, we are therefore Christ's ambassador, as though God was making his appeal through us. And in that way, this horizontal reconciliation happens. God wants to use us as ambassadors, representatives of God, to bring reconciliation between peoples. This can happen in our neighborhood. Something happened during COVID where I live, and that is that the neighborhood changed completely. New patterns were set of more isolation and protection of turf and strange sort of things. And it altered the landscape. You know, Christy and I and Sandy, we've been living in the same household together for 26 years since the brand new development of our neighborhood. And we've had good years of cultivating relationship with neighbors and being a blessing, but also learning how to receive and that give and take. But something happened in a reset where there were relationships that sort of went cold, and we stopped lending or asking to borrow things. And we're rebuilding. Does that happen for you, where you've had relationships that were fine for a while, but now there's something that happened, and you don't even know necessarily what happened, but there's a fracture. And so how do we take reconciliation as a journey to be ambassadors of reconciled relationships between people? Now, I want to come to a passage of Scripture on this. I think there are two, one out of the Old Testament that I'm going to read, and then one out of the New Testament I'm going to reference. But the Old Testament is this one. In Jeremiah 29, Israel is in exile. They are away from their homeland and in Babylon. And God says, as you are here, seek the what? The shalom. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And so all of this work of reconciliation is a gift to the wider community, to people who are feeling alienation, and that we would exist as people of peace between broken relationships. Next slide, please. Reconciliation is like the heart of God that is the trunk of a tree. And this is a picture of our global team with a number of invited young leaders from different parts of the world. And so there's some Canadians here, there's some people from Southeast Asia, from the continent of Africa, from the Middle East, from Europe, from these Eastern European countries as well. And as we gathered together, there was a sense of this tree of life out of Revelation chapter 22, that God is the one with deep roots, who causes the tree of life in the New Jerusalem. The angels showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of this New Jerusalem. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit in every month, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. For reconciliation between others, this vision that flows out of that flows from the heart of God and out to this tree whose leaves are healing to the nations. And we had this picture. There was this beautiful tree. You'll see the small inset picture on the left is of a lantern. And in this tree were lamps, lanterns, that were lighting up the tree. And we had a sense as a team that God was saying, yeah, that's a good metaphor, that we are not the tree of life. We are not the source of the tree of life. We are not the agents of healing to the nations. But boy, we are called to be salt and light. And boy, if we could be lanterns in this tree that brings healing to the nations. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what God is up to and how we can show the way? And so one of those lamps was actually lit recently in February, if you go to the next slide, here in Canada. That while everything has, you know, the news cycle keeps changing to new conflicts around the world, and there's a lot to be said for what's going on in the Gaza Strip, and every week we're getting updates on what's happening between Israel and Palestinians, and that God's heart is breaking for people who are being murdered, killed, who are distorting the truth of what's happening, and there's lots there of an ongoing work of reconciliation. Now, I mentioned my colleague Salim, who's in East Jerusalem. They take teams of Israelis and Palestinians into the desert for retreats together to listen to one another, to hear from each other, and to pray for restitution. And they've done this with Israeli Christians and Palestinian Christians. They've also done it with others using the scriptures. But recently, we crossed over the two-year mark of the conflict in the Ukraine. This current unprovoked attack from Russia, and the 10-year anniversary of Russia's annexing of Crimea. and these unprovoked attacks are also evil. But we put together a call for prayer and action that was signed by over 45 national leaders that included evangelicals, as well as Pentecostals and independent churches, and Orthodox priests and Catholic groups. And we all signed this call to prayer. And it's also gone to our politicians, with whom we're going to meet to continue to advocate for more diplomacy and to not lose sight of what's needed in the longer story. So supporting Ukraine, and recently our team leader, global team leader, Phil, was in meetings in Uzbekistan, and he saw some people there who came from the Ukraine who heard about this letter, that it brought them hope that they were not forgotten and left alone in their struggles and in the turmoil that they're facing. And when we pray and we respond with the reconciling heart of God, God is up to something in and from Canada in a way that doesn't minimize or ignore the suffering or sorrow that's caused by violence or war or just a standoff between neighbors. And in this, we led meaningful prayers together. God is calling us together to be agents of reconciliation between people. And I wonder, as a church, as you consider your calling here within your own community, but also in wider scope, how do we pray? How do we respond to these areas of brokenness that are going on in the world, or with between Indigenous and non-Indigenous, or between newcomers from nations where they feel scorn? That we would lean into that and be agents of reconciliation. And lastly, that we would consider the shalom of God in a circular way. And this is a beautiful picture for us to understand our call to live the simple way, to be consider ourselves as part of creation. We're coming up to Earth Day this month, and a great opportunity. I've been asked by our Bethany Church, a sister church in Kitchener, in 2 weeks' time to come and to preach on creation care for an Earth Day focus, and that we would understand God wants to reconcile all things to himself. This next slide picks up on this theme in Colossians chapter 1, where Christ is the firstborn over all creation, the beginning of this section. Well, look how it ends, verses 19 and 20. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Now, when's the last time we preached a message on Jesus shed blood on the cross and applied it to all creation? We are the ones who bring the message of the cross, and we're primarily concerned that humans, that people, would have a transformed experience. But in Christ, God is reconciling all things to himself. And that we would actually stand with people who are on the front lines, bringing hopeful climate change mitigation and watershed and land stewardship, and caring for the rural environments as we continue to face weather patterns and strange behavior going on. That God is in the business. I think many of us are infected by rapture theology, where we just think that somehow this world's going to burn up and we're going to get a ticket out of here, instead of understanding that the scriptures talk about the renewal of a new heaven and a new earth. And God is in the business of renewing and restoring all things to himself. So I invite us to lean into that. What is our part in that, in how we can live as agents of reconciliation to all things? And you know what? There are younger generations, Gen Z in particular, but younger generations who have this in them. Let's encourage them and strengthen that as an act of faith and obedience to the Word of God, and not just roll our eyes at the way that things are going. So secondly, why is peacemaking and reconciling important for every Christian in every church? I want to think about this, that our world is broken and hurting. We see fragmentation in families and communities, in our country, in our world. That's true in my life. It's probably true in yours. It needs the full work of Christ Jesus, his life-giving salvation and redemption, his restoration to God, his kingdom of peace. but you and I have been given tools and a mandate to do something about it. And so that is our aim, is that you as a congregation and as individuals would see yourselves as sent by God to be centers of reconciliation in your world and in your lives. And that we would continue to grow and strengthen in how we can participate in this fourfold picture of reconciliation: upward, horizontal, circular, and inward. And so in that way, I want to bring this to a close. You can skip ahead just a few slides to the red heart. My prayer is that as we think about these aspects of reconciliation, yeah, just go ahead, one, two, three, back one. There we go. That's the one. So I asked you to do this today, and thank you for participating. You can't take these with you because I'm going to need them again. But this is often how we think of our participation in reconciliation, that we're mending something that's broken and we can still see the threads. But isn't it good to know that we serve and follow a God who actually takes the broken things of the world and doesn't thread them together, but makes them completely whole? And that is the difference between our participation, that this is not the goal or the end game. This is our participation with God. But God, in the end, is the one who makes us whole and who makes our world whole and who is calling all things to himself eventually. And what a gift it is to participate with God's reconciling heart in this world, to live as everyday peacemakers, and yet to know that God is the one who takes it further than any of us can do by bringing complete shalom, complete wholeness. Let's continue to live for him in this wider sense of participating in his work in the world. And as always, I'll have some opportunity to talk with you out at the kiosk after the service. But would you join me in a word of prayer, and I'm going to invite the musicians to come back up. Lord, we thank you again for your word today. Thank you for the vast work that you're doing in terms of reconciling all things to yourself. Lord, we confess that sometimes we've made a very small picture of the work that you're doing in the world. But thank you that you are up to something that also invites us in to be reconcilers, to be ambassadors of reconciliation, to live as agents of peace. And so for each of us today, wherever we are, and whatever it is that we're involved in, that, Lord, you would continue to strengthen our sense of commitment and give us courage to look at the places in our world that still experience incredible brokenness, and that we would be those who would go confident in who you are and be those ambassadors of reconciliation. We thank you, Lord, for your work in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.